Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I want to conclude our series of lessons on the Psalms by looking at Psalm 139, the great psalm about God's character and God's nature, God's threefold nature. And we're going to look at that this morning, Psalm 139, if you would like to turn there in your Bible. I appreciate you staying with us week after week on the program. If you listen regularly, I'm grateful for that. Please come visit us also at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would love to have you come for Bible study and for worship where we can meet. And if you would like to have a home Bible study, if you would like to talk privately about Bible matters, I would be glad to set that up. Let's get together and do that. We simply want to let the Bible speak in our lives today. Let God speak to us in His Word today. And I'm glad that you've been with us for this Psalms series. I've been trying to bring out some Psalms that deal with current issues in our life today. All of the Psalms are good. All of the Psalms need to be read. All of the Psalms have good lessons for us today. But I focused on some psalms that have some, what I believe to be obvious connections with our life today, and I hope that you have enjoyed that series. And I want to close this morning that particular psalm series with Psalm 139 because it speaks of the greatness of God's character and nature. And God, in the lives of so many today, is not existent, non-existent. There are many atheists, there are many skeptics, agnostics, there are many people who are what I call practical atheists. They believe in their mind that a God may exist, but practically in their life, they do not obey Him, they do not worship Him, they don't pray to Him, they don't read His Word. So practical atheists. But because for so many decades now in our country, we have tried to get rid of God and push Him off to the side and remove Him from our lives, we're seeing more and more people without God in their lives. And so I wanted to close with Psalm 139, just a reminder of the Almighty Great God with whom we have to do. Whether we believe in Him or not, He's there. Whether we obey Him or not, He's there. Whether we care about Him or not, He's there. And so I would encourage us to bring our life into obedience to God before it's too late, before He sends His Son again in the judgment day and it's too late. In Psalm 139, we read about the greatness of God and what I call the three omnis: omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. Omni, meaning all. God is all-knowing. God is all-present, ever-present, and He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And Psalm 139 divides itself nicely. David talks about God here and in these three sections. And so verses 1 through 6, God's omniscience. Verses 7 through 12, God's omnipresence. Verses 13 through 24, God's omnipotence. And we've got to understand these things about God. And we've got to have Him in our life. There is evidence for God. There's evidence in the natural world, the design of the natural world. There's evidence in Scripture or the Bible. We can learn about God in the natural world. We can learn about God in the Bible. And we can learn about God from the coming of Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus. He came to show us God in the flesh. So the natural world, Jesus, and the Bible. And we have a lot of evidence in all three of those areas for the existence of a creator. Let's look at the character and the nature of God, and then we're going to see this morning that David brings all of this home to make it practical in one's personal life. These are not just three theoretical, abstract, interesting concepts about God. David is going to bring these three things together and say, because of these three things, God, I want you to do this with me. Friends, we've got to make this personal and practical to our life today. We don't simply want to engage in some musings about the interesting nature of God. Because of who God is, we want to bring that home and say, I have to have a right relationship with God. And we're going to see how David does that at the end of this psalm. But let's look at the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, and the omnipotence of God in Psalm 139. The first thing that David mentions is the omniscience or all-knowing nature of God. God is able to do that. We're not. We know things only as we learn them. We are not omniscient. We are not all-knowing. And sometimes things that we do know, we forget. But God is all-knowing. Let's read verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139. O Jehovah, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Jehovah, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. In other words, this is amazing. When I begin to think about the details of God knowing everything, it is really hard to comprehend. Think about the millions and millions of people and the billions and billions of people who live today and who have lived in the past and who will live. God can know everything about everyone at any time. That is just mind-boggling. Not a few things, but everything of billions and billions of people. And then the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, everything about all that, it's mind-boggling. When you look at the omniscience of God, number one, God knows all about us. That should sober us. That can be a good thing. If we're going through problems and struggles in life, God knows about that and He can help us with that. But it can also be a negative thing. If we're misbehaving and we're acting in a way that we shouldn't, God knows that. Even if it doesn't show in outward bodily form, just our thoughts. If there is wicked or evil or sinful thoughts, God knows that. So, three things here in these first three verses. Number one, God knows what we do. Number two, God knows what we think. And number three, God knows what we say. God knows what we do, verses 1 through 3. God knows what we think, also in verse 2. And then God knows what we say, verses 4 through 6. You know my down-sitting and my uprising, anything that I do throughout the day. You understand my thoughts. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. Whatever I do from the moment I get up until I go to sleep at night, you know it all. And even throughout the night. And then he goes to words. Everything that I say, you know. Stop and think about things that you have said in the past, right or wrong. And again, you can think of it positively. Does God hear the good things that I say? Yes, He will reward that. Does God hear the bad things that I say? Yes, He will punish that. Today, words, people just say all kinds of stuff. And people don't care about their language. It could be profanity. It could be lies, deceit, dishonesty. It could be all kinds of things. Nobody cares. They just say whatever they want. They do whatever they want. And they act as if there is no God. And that's the whole point. We have pushed God out of our lives that people don't care about the omniscience of God, that God's not in my life. I'm not worried that he knows or does not know something, but God knows all. And that should humble us, and it should sober us, that God knows all. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 that the judgment day is going to include the secrets of men. And God knows all. And so the first attribute of God here is his omniscience. Like I said before, our knowledge is limited. We're limited to what we can read and what we can learn and what we can know. We are very limited. And we certainly cannot know the future. We can kind of predict the weather, but we do not know in detail everything that is going to happen. And God knows all. And you have beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Again, I believe David is using this in a positive way of protection. But God is everywhere, whether you believe in him or not. And his hand is on you in the sense of you have to live your life in accordance to God's word and God's will and way. And if you don't, he's going to judge you. He's in your life, whether you want him in there or not, friend. He is there. And so, number one, the omniscience of God. Number two, in verses 7 through 12, the omnipresence of God. We can be only in one place at one time. We cannot be in multiple places at one time. Science fiction can have you being in different places at different times, but that's science fiction. It's fiction. It's not fact. Movies might be able to do that for you, but reality does not. We are in one place at one time, but not God. He can be anywhere he needs to be or wants to be or must be. So let's look at verses 7 through 12. Verses 7 through 12. The omnipresence of God. So number one, God knows all about us. And number two, God is always with us. Again, that can be either good or bad. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, even the darkness hides not from thee, but the light shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Again, I believe David is understanding this from the standpoint of a positive thing. It's a comfort and a consolation to know that God is with me all day long. But if we're not living right, it should terrify us that we are acting and doing things, and God is everywhere knowing that. He's in heaven. He's in the place of the dead, if he needs to be. He can be found in the farthest oceans, and he can even see us when it's dark. The darkness and the light are the same to him. Friend, knowing that, there are people who do all kinds of things, and they think that it's in secret, but God's seeing all of that, and God's going to hold you accountable for your deeds. Have you ever thought about why so much crime is done at night? You ever thought about that? You're not seen easily when you break in and steal, or when you rob a car, or when you kill someone. People do things at night when it's dark so they can't be seen. Well, I got by with such and such. Nobody saw me. God sees everything. Mankind does not. And that's why a lot of times we do things at night. One thing that's spoiling that today in the 21st century is there tends to be cameras everywhere. And so people are doing things, and then the detectives, the police, the sheriff's deputies, they find them later because they just get the camera footage and they see the license tag on the car, or they get a description of the robber or whatever. So camera feed is causing a problem for people who want to do things at night or in the dark or behind closed doors. But think about that. We do something in the privacy of our home that's not right. We think, well, nobody saw that. God did. And we do things at night. Well, nobody saw me. Well, God saw you. And just like he can know what's in our heart, and man cannot know that, he can know what we're doing in a hidden kind of way where man does not see this or that. He can see that. And again, David uses it in a positive way. Thy right hand shall hold me for protection, lead me and guide me no matter where I have to go. And sometimes we have to go to places that are positive and good, and sometimes we have to go into situations that are stressful and painful. But God is there at all times. So this can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. It can be a good thing when we live right and follow his will, knowing that God is there and will support us and help us, even when man will not. That is such a great thing. Sometimes we have to do things for the cause of Christ, and it seems like we're standing alone and nobody is there. I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he was on trial. He said, everyone forsook me, but the Lord stood by my side. I love that statement. And do you believe that, friend? Do I believe that? Do we really believe that the Lord can be with us and help us? He can. And that's the divine nature of God. I'm so glad that we have the being of God in our universe, in our life, that is above and beyond the limitation of man. There are times when we need more than what we can do. We can do a lot. And mankind in the 21st century can do a lot. But if we'll all be honest, there are times in our lives when we need someone who can do more than what we can do, who can know more than what we know, who can be more places than what we can be, who has greater power than we have. We need that. And I'm so glad that we have that in God. And so the second attribute that David talks about is the omnipresence of God. The third attribute that David talks about is the omnipotence of God, verses 13 through 24. God is all-knowing, God is all-present, and God is all-powerful. God knows all about us, God is always with us, and God can do all things for us or against us, depending upon how we're acting. Let's look at some of the things involved in the power of God. Verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst cover me in thy mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Talking about being in the womb. Thine eyes did see my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Notice how David will make a point. He made a point about the omniscience of God, and then it's almost like his concluding point. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now he's talking about the omnipotence of God, and he draws this little concluding thought. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. When I think about these omni statements, David says, that God knows all, is everywhere, forms me when I'm in my mother's womb, how great is the sum of those thoughts? And it really is great. We've lost that. We've dumbed God down or cut him out of our existence altogether, that he's no longer great. We've got to get that greatness back in our life. But let's look at his omnipotence. First of all, forming the baby, the child in the mother's womb. It's not a blob of fetal tissue to be expelled through abortion. We're learning more and more about the baby inside of a mother's womb. And thanks to, we had 3D imaging for a while. Now we have 4D imaging for a while. Now we do. We have these sonograms that can produce great pictures of the baby inside the mother's womb, even at an early formation period, that we can't just keep saying stuff like, well, we don't know what's in there. It's just a blob of fetal tissue. And abortion is murder. It's killing a child, a baby, a soul. And we've got to stop that. And abortion rises and lowers, waxes and wanes from time to time. Sometimes the numbers go up, sometimes the numbers go down, but it doesn't go away. And people selfishly kill the child in the baby's, in the mother's womb. And God, you did form my inward parts. We know from other passages in like Zechariah and Hebrews chapter 12 that God gives us our spirit. The baby forms physically and biologically, and God made that happen. And then, but God gives each person their spirit, and he's a part of that formation process. It's not just purely biological. You did form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And notice, me, the baby is a person, not an it or a thing. David said, I and me and my, and he has a soul. We've got to get back to protecting the baby in the mother's womb. And there are many people who will adopt. There are many people who will love that child. I know some of them personally. And there is no need to discard a baby. So God knows and can always be and can do all things. He creates and arranges our bodies within the womb. He even keeps up with our daily lives. And he knows what is going to happen. In thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knows what is going to happen in our life. He has that kind of foreknowledge. He lets us use our free will to make choices. But he knows what is ahead of us. That goes back to that omniscience matter. And then, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Going back to the thoughts that he had about God. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, look at verse 19. There's another matter involving the power of God, and that is he has the power to punish the wicked, and he will. That's why we've got to get sin out of our lives. We've got to have sin washed away in baptism and let the blood of Christ cleanse us and wash away those sins in baptism. We don't want to meet God in the judgment day with wickedness and evil and sin in our lives. So God also has the power to punish the wicked. Let's look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Jehovah, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. They are become my enemies. A couple of things here. First of all, God can punish the wicked, and he will. And he's done that in Bible times. He did it temporally on this earth, and he will certainly do that in the judgment day. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who are transgressors, the evil, the wicked, the sinful. God is a just God, and he cannot just allow all of that evil and wickedness to go unpunished. And so he has the power to punish that. But then look at the psalmist's attitude then. If you're wicked and evil and you don't like God, I don't like you. This is not hating the sinner. This is hating the sin. I'm not going to be around that activity. I'm not going to engage in that. I hate them that hate thee with a perfect hatred. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's what's going on here. I hate evil and sin and wickedness, and I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Now, if I can be around a wicked person and save them, I'm going to try to talk with them about the gospel, but I'm not going to condone their behavior, engage in their behavior, and say that their behavior is fine. I hate that. I abhor that. That's something that we've lost in our world today. Now, let's bring this to home in verse 23 and 24. All three aspects of God, David wants to bring home here in the last two verses. He makes it real and practical. And friends, we need to do this. We don't need to think about the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, and the omnipotence of God in just some theoretical, hypothetical way. We need to bring it down and apply it in our lives. Look at what David says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David says, look, since you know all things, and you can be everywhere, and you're all powerful, turn all of that toward me, and if there's anything in me that's wrong, you're going to know it. And that needs to be our attitude. And if the answer is there is something there, I need to get it out of my life through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then lead me in the way everlasting. I will be led in the right way in this life, and I will be led all the way to heaven. But I've got to take this greatness of God's character and apply it to my life. And when he knows everything in me, and when he knows everywhere I go, and when he is all powerful, if there's something not right in my life, I'm going to be judged. And so I'm going to change that before it's too late. If I am living right, he's going to know that too, and he's going to reward me for that. Friends, this great God that we serve, it's a knowledge that is wonderful and high. It's precious thoughts that are many. Let's have them in our lives. If I can help you to be right with the great God, please contact us. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.